we call it president, but it goes by other names, such as scum, asshole, rich man, poor man, bum, landlord, empress, and scum. Again, root beer, butthead, and capitalism.
Get out.
In Australia, it's called warlords and scumbag. And then in Netherlands, it's slutspieren or klootzakken, which I think is the best word I've ever heard in my life. Klootzakken.
Wow.
Probably means asshole. Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name's Jaquetta Sotmari, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
I'm not a crook. I've earned everything I've got.
Hey, listeners.
Like, are you talking to me?
Hi, Jaquetta.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey.
Fancy meeting you here.
Right. No, it's President's Day.
Yeah.
It's President's Week.
President's Week. Some people have time off. Some people, just continue to get on with it.
Yeah. But here, we're going to talk about it.
Yeah.
Because we're not running away.
No, we're not going to run away from it. We're not going to talk about this current president.
No.
But we're going to talk about presidents in general.
In general.
Yeah.
And we're going to keep it light and easy for you.
Yeah, I'm going to try to keep it light and easy.
Okay. All right. So the very first president was George Washington, as mm-hmm. we all know. Nobody's going to let us forget.
Yes. And as I was just telling Katie, I went to the Met last week, and I happened to walk by some of his portraits, and he was balling, shot calling, dripping with just jewelry, the wigs. Like, he felt good about himself.
He had textured outfits on.
He had finger waves, girl.
Yeah. And he was tall.
He was tall.
He was over 6 feet tall.
Which is weird.
And which is tall. Back then. He must have towered over people.
But just the look on his face, too. He was just like, that's right, y'all. That's mm-hmm. right.
My grandmother had a portrait of him in her house. And when she died, I was like, I don't even know what to do with this.
Yeah, who wants a portrait of George Washington?
I know. I took it, but I put it behind like a dresser. Because I didn't know what to... I couldn't have this giant portrait
of
him.
No, it puts people off.
Yeah. So I threw it out.
Yeah.
Had to.
You have to.
Sorry, George. Anyway, but he, on his birthday, he would have a special celebration. And there's a place, Gadsby's Tavern Museum, that still celebrates it.
Really?
And they host a George Washington's birthday banquet ball and Madeira tasting.
Wow.
Yes.
That stuff is pretty, it's like fortified wine, basically, no?
Yeah, that's
it's pretty strong.
But that was his favorite. Yes.
That was the Cristal of the day.
Yes. So this has been a tradition since 1797.
Wow.
His birthday celebration dinner. And he is quoted as saying, "Went up to Alexandria to the celebration of my birthday. Many maneuvers were performed by the uniform corps. And an elegant ball and supper at night."
Wow. So it's Catherine O'Hara as George Washington by Katie Kazmir.
That's true.
I like it.
So they have a recreation set in the year of 1799.
Great.
Celebrating his birthday.
So you know my people are there serving. Sorry, facts of U.S. history.
I don't care
about these guys.
The evening includes a three-course 18th-century banquet mm-hmm. at Gadsby's Tavern Restaurant.
Followed by flogging.
Then English court dancing, toasts, and a special 18th-century-style dessert collation.
Wow.
And the character reenactors include General and Mrs. Washington.
Okay.
After five attire is encouraged.
So I would say 1790s attire required.
And period costumes are optional. So it costs, tickets for the banquet and the ball are available beginning at $120 per person.
Mm-hmm. He probably charged the same back in the day.
Yeah, $50 for the ball only.
Mm-hmm.
And $150 to enjoy it in the private room with the Washingtons themselves.
Wow, what do you get in the private room?
$200 to be seated at the same table.
Wow.
As Washington.
With George Washington.
And
he'd be like, "Who let these slaves sit at my table?" Is this a Chinaman? What's going on?
And then there are dance classes. that you're encouraged to take at $12 a pop.
So how to get down like George.
$30 for the series so you can understand what they say here. In preparation for the birth night ball, those not familiar with the style of dancing should complete at least one full class to become accustomed to the figures and language of the ball.
I mean, that actually is interesting. I would like to learn how George Washington and Martha Washington got down on the dance floor. Like, what did they do? You know?
So this is what's going on. You can go and learn to dance and then go to the ball. Dress up with like them and sit with them.
Where is that?
It's in Alexandria, Virginia.
Wow. Very interesting. I like that.
Yeah.
So I'm going in another direction with this. I found this, there's a game called Presidents, a card game. I'd never heard of it. It is, we call it President, but it goes by other names such as Scum, Asshole, Rich Man, Poor Man, Bum, Landlord, Empress, and Scum. Again, Root Beer, Butthead, and Capitalism.
Get out.
In Australia, it's called Warlords and Scumbag. And in France, it's called Truduc, or Truducal, which I think means scumbag. Yeah.
Okay.
In Germany, it's Einer ist immer dann Scumbag. In Hungary, Huberus, which means vassal. And then in Netherlands, it's Slutspieren or Klootzakken, which I think is the best word I've ever heard in my life. Klootzakken.
Wow.
Probably means asshole. So the game originally spread through the Western world, especially among young people, but it's thought to be of Chinese origin. It's a climbing game, which each player in turn can either pass or play a card in combination with beats the previous play. The usual object is to get rid of all your cards, so to empty your hand. This game has been around since the 1970s, but they have been around in China for, you know, millennia. As the game has spread, it has numerous variations, but there's a really basic version, so I'll just go with it. You get your cards. Say you have five people. You deal all the cards.
Okay.
So you deal all the cards. Player to the dealer's left starts by leading face up any single card or set of cards of equal ranks. Three fives.
Okay.
For example. Each player in the turn must either pass, so not play any cards, or play face up a card or a set of cards which beats the previous play. Any higher card beats a single card. Sets of cards can only be beaten by a higher set. So you're trying to put everything together and get rid of your cards.
The first one to get rid of the cards is the winner?
Wins. So, for example, if a previous player plays two sixes, you can beat it with two kings or two sevens, but not with a single king. It's not necessary to beat the previous play. Just because you can pass. The play continues until someone makes a play in which everyone passes. All the cards played are then turned face up and put to the side, and then it starts again. So there are many, many, many different variations of this, but it seems like the goal of this thing, the reason why it's called Scum and Asshole, Rich Man and Poor Man, is because you're trying to screw everybody, and you're trying to win the game. So there's also a social status when you're playing the game. So the first person who is out of cards gets the highest social rank, which is president. Then the next person, because I guess you pay multiple rounds of it, the next person is vice president, citizen, and then so on. The last person to be left standing is known as the beggar or the scum or asshole or any term of abuse that you would like to have.
Is there booze involved in this game?
Probably there can be.
Yeah.
So I looked at, there's like many, many, many variations of this. So you could do it like king, minister, peasant, boss, foreman, worker, bum, whatever kind of thing. So, I think I'm going to try, Greg, my husband, I think we're going to try to play this game.
All right.
I'm curious about it. I've never heard of President.
Okay.
But,
let us know how
card
it goes.
Games. Yeah, I'll let you know how it goes. I like that it's called Asshole. Like, it's classy for President's Day.
So, if you're the president, one of the perks is you get a personal chef.
Okay.
And who's available around the clock. Anything you want at any time.
Okay.
You can have.
Okay.
Which sounds nice.
But. Is he temperamental or she temperamental?
Well, no, we don't. The chef is just going to do whatever.
So what's he making now? Like a lot of like American cheese on Wonder Bread sandwiches?
Yeah, it's all like cheeseburgers. Well done cheeseburgers.
Well done cheeseburgers with ketchup.
But so, you know, when they're when they're up at night, maybe I'm talking about past presidents actually working.
Who are actually working, yeah.
And they're up.
Not when they have to pee and they get up at night.
Tweeting on the toilet.
Yes.
Yeah. Not at that point, but when they're actually working on serious issues.
Yeah.
And they're up late and then they want something
the country,
to eat.
Yeah.
What was their favorite food they liked to eat?
Okay.
Okay. So Barack Obama liked Franz smoked salt caramels. Yeah.
That was his snack?
That was his snack that he loved. He was introduced to them by a fundraiser, Cynthia Strom, and he was hooked ever since.
That's terrible. He was a thin man.
Yeah, but he liked those caramels.
He liked those caramels, okay. George, he also, like, worked out every day, though.
Yeah.
He didn't just sit around, stuff his face, and start international conspiracies.
Right.
And play golf.
Right.
And cheat at golf.
Yeah. George W. Bush liked mm-hmm. cheeseburger pizza. Because choosing between a cheeseburger and a pizza is a tough decision.
Wow. Everything was a tough decision for him.
Yeah.
He also liked it with a side of blow.
Yeah, right. Bill Clinton loved jalapeno cheeseburgers.
Huh? Yeah. I thought he was a donut man.
Well, yeah, but he was a regular at this place called Doe's Eat Place in Little Rock. And he indulged, and then he would love these greasy jalapeno cheeseburgers with mayo. I know you don't like that.
Ugh.
Lettuce, pickles, and onions.
Ew.
Yeah. But later on, you know, he had a heart issue and he went vegan.
Oh, yeah. So he says. I remember they used to make him jog.
Yeah. Yeah, right. And he goes so slow and eat a burger as he goes. George Bush.
Bush won.
Not the W.
Yeah, yeah. Elder Bush.
Yeah, liked pork rinds with Tabasco.
I'm sorry, can we get anybody who's just not eating that a complete piece of shit? Yeah. Would anyone like a vegetable? Pork rinds?
Yeah, and in March of 1988, pork rind sales jumped 11%.
Because of him?
Yeah.
Wow, he was really just trying to kill everybody, huh? In more ways than one.
Yep. And then Ronald Reagan, we all know he loved his jelly beans.
Mm-hmm. He probably thought they were pills.
But what an old person candy.
I know.
That's the candy you give to kids when they don't know any better. And then old people love it. And his favorite was black licorice.
I remember going over to people's houses as a kid, like old people, and they would have a candy jar. They'd be like, would you like a candy? You're like, it's just one big piece, dude.
Yeah, because like, it's all stuck together.
You can't get it. Yeah. Remember the candy looked like a ribbon? Who likes that?
Yeah. Oh.
It looks like a ribbon kind of like folded up.
Yeah.
Or there was also some whorehound or something, like a brown
candy. It was
candy.
Only a very mild mint, and you're like,
yeah, it's like basic mint. Mint light.
Yeah, so he loved the jelly beans so much that Jelly Bean released a blueberry flavor specifically for his inauguration.
Ew.
Nasty.
Gross.
All right, Richard Nixon probably takes the cake.
Crow? Old Crow?
The grossest. He liked cottage cheese with ketchup.
Oh. He was just bad.
Yeah, because he thought that eating the cottage cheese was good for his health. And then he had to liven up the bland flavor with, couldn't put in some fruit.
Have these people never been out of the country? Like,
yeah.
Have they never gone to an ethnic, no?
No. Lyndon B. Johnson.
Okay.
Loved Fresca.
I didn't know Fresca was that old.
That he had a special button installed in the Oval Office to order his favorite beverage on demand. So he actually comes from my school of robots where you have one
yes.
robot to do one
yes.
to do one function. And I'm like, I need the robot that can cook. I need the robot that can clean. Not thinking they could do both.
Was there? This
he has a just Fresca button.
One person who's like, ah, oh, shit, here we go.
It's a Fresca.
Here you go, Prez. Here's a Fresca. God damn it. Meanwhile, you hear about other, I feel like, you know, if you did this for France, they'd be like, a fine wine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or, like, you know, foie gras is like pork rinds.
Pork rinds, Fresca.
Pork rinds and racism.
Yeah.
That's what I love, militarism.
Yeah. John F. Kennedy, give you one guess.
Women.
I'll give you another guess. Boston clam chowder.
Okay, that's a thing, though.
Yeah, it's good.
Right?
It's
this is like a food, like a real food.
Yeah. Harry S. Truman liked a well-done steak.
Okay, see, now we're getting into, like...
So people got on him, because it's like, that's not classy to like a well-done steak, and he said...
He's had African-American style.
He said, only coyotes and predatory animals eat beef raw.
Yes, and white people.
And you know what? I actually grew up...
With rare?
Oh, no, with well-done, and I yes. like it. I still like it, and yes. I feel like a jerk... ordering it out because I'm not supposed to like it, but it's what's in my heart, Jaquetta.
I feel like, I mean,
it's in my heart.
I grew
it's in
up
my DNA.
With people having well-cooked meat because
mm-hmm.
I'm black.
Mm-hmm.
No, when I was growing up, if you went to a place and you cut open your meat and there was pink inside, people would be like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Like, what the? Take it back. That was like my entire childhood going somewhere with family members.
Yeah.
They'd be like, get the food. And they'd be like, put this back on.
Yeah.
When you're done cooking this, then bring it out.
Yeah.
Not before.
I like it when I say medium well, and it always comes out medium. And I'm like, you are just all trying to teach me a lesson.
Have you ever been to, there was a steakhouse I went to, and maybe it's called Steak, and I went with a group of people, and the person next to me ordered it. It's like blue.
Yeah, black and blue.
Black and blue.
Yeah, so
all they do is they just kind of warm up a cow and then and put it on the plate.
That's nasty. The only one I can really get away with is filet mignon.
Okay, but that's like a really fine cut of meat, right? Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, mm-hmm. he loved grilled cheese sandwiches.
Okay.
And his housekeeper, they say.
His housekeeper, huh?
Henrietta Nesbitt. Mm-hmm. She would make them for him all the time.
That's weird.
Theodore Roosevelt liked fried chicken with white gravy. And he said...
Fried chicken with white gravy?
With white gravy. And he said his mother always said it was the only way to serve fried chicken. And if you gave and that it gave the gravy time to soak into the meat. So it had to be on top of the meat. And then...
So it wasn't crispy?
Right. And so if the gravy was served separately, he never took it.
So weird.
Yeah.
The more I think about, I mean, after this guy, I don't even know if we should have president anymore.
Yeah.
I think we should just fend for ourselves.
Yeah.
Hunter-gatherer style.
I know.
We were doing fine.
Andrew Jackson liked cheese. And I think you talked just once
cheese.
About cheese. Any kind of cheese. He loved a nice piece of cheese. And nice. You talked about this 4-foot wheel of cheese that they gave him on
the cheese wheel. Yeah. It's awesome.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
Thomas Jefferson loved wine.
Okay. Women in song. Get them out, ladies. Get them out.
He drank 1 to 4 glasses a day.
And see, he still managed to get things done.
Yeah.
1 to 4?
Yeah.
Who was keeping track of that?
I know.
How much do you drink a day? Tell him 1 to 4.
Yeah. John Adams.
He probably had wide mouth. Can you imagine walking in on him? He's like, I'm signing up some stuff here. And he's just got red lips.
Yeah. His teeth are all
his
stained.
His teeth are red.
Yeah. John Adams loved cider, and he would drink a tankard of cider as soon as he got out of bed every day.
Wow. I like his style.
George Washington, first president, loved nuts.
Just nuts. And those are expensive.
Yes. Now, here's a story I never heard of, and I have a lot of doubt about it.
Okay.
His love for nuts left him with only one natural tooth. Yes, his habit of cracking...
One natural tooth.
Yes, his habit of cracking nuts resulted in a mouthful of animal teeth, artificial and human teeth, and ivory.
I mean, maybe it's true, but why didn't he just use a nutcracker?
Yeah, come on. I mean,
because I'm the president, that's why.
After I lose 1 to 2 teeth, because I've been cracking nuts,
I'm not going to stop because I'm the president. You don't tell me what to do with my teeth. I'm going to get more teeth. Take his teeth out.
And give them to me.
Give them to me.
So I need to crack a nut.
What is that? Is that a wolf? I'll take those. Animal teeth. No, animal bone, right?
It was ivory. Other human teeth.
I would just like to see him.
He had slave teeth.
Slave teeth, yes, I'm sure. You know. I would just like to see him with a mouthful of wolf teeth. Like, just a wolf's mouth.
All I could get. Yes. I've been cracking nuts I needed a replacement.
Oh, the life of a slave was horrible. You couldn't even have your own damn teeth.
Yeah.
You gotta give them to somebody else.
Yeah.
So I have some quotes here from presidents. I just took some of the more recent ones. I thought they were interesting. I'll throw this one at you and see if you can guess who it is. Remember, always give your best. Never get discouraged. Never be petty. Always remember, others may hate you, but those who hate you don't win unless you hate them, and then you destroy yourself.
Jimmy Carter.
Richard Nixon.
No!
Richard Nixon talking about hating, getting hated on. Heroes may be braver than anyone else. No, sorry.
This is a new quote.
This is a quote. Heroes may not be braver than anyone else. They're just braver 5 minutes long.
I want to say...
this is kind of recent, or in our lifetime.
In our lifetime. Do you want to say... Clinton? Bill Clinton?
No, this is Ronald Reagan.
Did he? No.
Yeah. I guess when he was still cogent. if you live long enough, new quote, if you live long enough, you'll make mistakes. But if you learn from them, you'll be a better person. It's how you handle adversity, not how it affects you. The main thing is never quit, never quit, never quit.
No, I say Jimmy Carter.
No, it's not Bill Clinton.
Oh, okay.
This one's easy. Change will not come if we wait for some other person or some other time. We are the ones we've been waiting for. We are the change we seek.
Obama.
That's definitely Obama. Okay.
That sounds as Obama written all over.
And then here's, grab them by the pussy.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
Right?
The most presidential of them all, yeah.
So this was kind of cool then. Be patient and calm. No one can catch a fish with anger.
Herbert Hoover. Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, that is nice. I don't think any of these, look, I'm not pro-politician. I think most of these guys were POS. But here's one of our favorite guys. There's good in everybody. Boost. Don't knock, girl. Girl, I added on my own. There's good in everybody. Boost. Don't knock.
Oh, that's nice. That's Obama.
No, it's not Obama. It's the Ho president.
The Ho president.
Warren G. Harding.
Oh, okay.
Warren G. Don't, there's good in everybody. So basically he was like, don't hate.
Yeah. And lift others.
Yeah. Boost, don't knock. But that's because everyone was like, dude, you suck.
Yeah.
Sit down. Knock, knock. What's that? Not a boost. So yeah, those are, the object, this was Woodrow Wilson, I was like, the object of love is to serve, not to win. I don't know what that was in relation to.
The object of love is to serve, not to win.
Yeah.
Well, he had something going on.
Yeah. I think so. And then FDR said, men are not prisoners of fate, but only prisoners of their own minds.
It's true.
Yeah, so some interesting stuff, but I like that there's boost, don't knock. Mm-hmm. Just don't. Boost. That sounds very, very...
Contemporary.
Yeah, contemporary. To tell you about, you need to be boosting each other, man.
Yeah.
Instead of knocking each other down. Warren C. Harding.
Boost, don't knock.
Boost, don't knock.
This is our episode.
Yeah.
I got the four R's. The four R's. Rehearse, record, rinse, or repair. 209 West 40th Street. Hashtag #BunkLifeNYC.
All right, what do you have?
Okay. So we got presidential hobbies.
Okay.
We know the president's so busy.
Yes, some of them.
Yeah, but when they have some downtime, what do they like to do?
Okay.
And this article was written right after George W. Bush.
What was his hobby? Destroying companies that his family gave him?
They said...
Did he have any hobbies?
They said, I have to find what he said.
Posing for covers of Mad Magazine as Albert P. Newman.
They said, what would his hobby be? Clearing bush, reading, golf, and biking, perhaps. And they said... Christoph Agnew, a professor of history and American studies at Yale, said, for someone with as much institutional exposure to the world as he had, he was a singularly incurious president.
Because he was stupid.
Yeah.
Like, actually stupid.
He doesn't have many hobbies because he was dumbass.
Yeah, he was dumb. I'm sorry, but he reminds me of a rich kid that I went to school with that was just like,
yeah.
And just getting pushed along, boosted.
Yeah.
As Warren G. Harding would say,
just
for no reason.
Just handed to them, yep. You know, and no consequences for actions.
None, and still no consequences. Yeah. And this is why I'm not religious.
Yeah. Okay.
So, I need to see consequences.
So here we are. Bill Clinton, his best known hobby was playing tenor saxophone.
Oh, that's right, because he came on TV and did it.
He learned how to play an instrument.
That's interesting to me. I feel like most of the presidents of our lifetime, like Reagan, he was an actor, so a parrot. The Bushes, what did they do? Nothing.
Yeah, but Bill Clinton was the first one to appear on like a late night talk show.
But he actually had a talent.
Yeah, that was a marker of like a changing time.
Yeah, but that's a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, that he actually knows how to do something. I feel like a lot of politicians don't know how to do anything. What does Paul Ryan do?
Yeah.
You know?
Some others take more formidable pursuits. Thomas Jefferson,
Pimping.
After he was president, he founded the University of Virginia, designed UVA buildings in Charlottesville as well as Virginia's state capital.
Mm-hmm. I think Bush has just continued to drool.
Yeah, and his other hobbies included archaeology, writing, winemaking, cooking, and industrial design.
Wow.
All right, so that was Thomas Jefferson. John Quincy Adams, what did he do? He loved to skinny dip. And he would
Is that his hobby? Get naked, going for a swim? Yeah.
They could find him in the Potomac.
On the rag. That's right.
And then there's a female reporter who once found him there and was like, you can't get out and get dressed till you give me an exclusive interview.
Really?
Yeah.
I like her style.
Yeah. Lyndon B. Johnson. He spent a lot of time on his ranch He was fond of drunkenly speeding around his property in various automobiles.
Okay.
Including an amphibious vehicle that looked like a normal convertible. So it looked like a car, but it could, you could go on the water. And he liked to toy with his unwitting guests by pretending the brakes failed and then driving the car into a lake.
Great. Like a Dick Cheney style. They shoot him in the face afterwards. Freak him out.
Yeah. Dwight Eisenhower was so serious about golf that he once asked the Augusta National to remove all tall pine trees.
Excuse me?
On the 17th hole because it sometimes thwarted his long drive.
Really? Yeah. I mean, learn how to play, bro.
Yeah.
Get your drive right.
They rejected his request, but they renamed the tree the Eisenhower Pine.
That's rude. Just to stick it to him. I like it. Did you hear that? Was it the Met? No, maybe the Guggenheim that the Trumps asked if they could borrow a piece of art?
What?
Trump asked if he could borrow a piece of art from the Guggenheim for something.
Yeah.
And they said, no, you can have the golden toilet seat that we have, though. Because they have that toilet seat that's an art piece that you can actually use. They're like, you can have that.
Oh, my God. Yes. But good for them saying
yes,
no.
Good for
because
them
then you would
no.
take it.
Yes. Why would you give him anything?
You can't give him anything. You can't give the Trumps anything.
No, you're going to get back a fake.
No,
they're
you're
not sell
getting
it.
Anything back.
I think they would fake it and sell it. That would be in Russia
family,
so fast.
Oh, gosh. In New York, for their properties stuff, they'd want things, you know, to design their interior spaces. And they wanted it all on net 30 or 60 terms. And they don't pay.
No.
So they're robbing you.
Yep. Well, no, they didn't rob this museum.
Good. And they also, this article is old, but they do mention Putin, who was actually our other president.
Yeah. He's a VP. It's not Mike Pence.
Yeah. So he spends his time painting, and one of his paintings went for $1.1 million.
Why? Did he blackmail somebody into buying
Probably.
It? I can't believe, I mean, what is wrong with these people?
I don't know.
It's sad.
Yeah,
so. I'm teaching a class right now in urbanism, and we start at the dawn of time, like the Neolithic period. We go through the Roman Empire, Council, all this kind of stuff. Same assholes over and over and over again, making the same mistakes over and over again. It's bizarre. We'll never be rid of these people, ever.
How?
Nobody wants to do this job. It's kind of like a...
Do which job? President?
Yeah. No one wants to do this job. And the majority of the people who do want to do it are psycho.
Yeah.
It's just like business, I suppose. You know, we talked about before, the 1% of all people are psycho or sociopaths, and those people are Wall Street and politics.
Yeah.
Right?
That's right.
Where else?
Yeah, well, we have a lot of sociopaths in America.
Yeah.
They don't
have to be
violent sociopaths. Yeah.
But it's like, well, I mean, would you want to be the president of the United States of America?
No.
No. Neither would I. No.
I think that...
I don't even want to be a mayor. Mm-hmm. I have, you know? No, thank you.
Yeah.
I don't think I could deal with the other people.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, think about being a congresswoman. I think about Maxine Waters all the time. What she has to put up with. Every day, that BS. Those horrible people. Those are people you work with. Those are your colleagues.
Yeah, that is the
Dicks.
Idea. When you get higher up, it's the idea of just negotiating and managing other people on higher levels and making sure that they all get what they want.
So, I mean, imagine having to meet Mitch McConnell even once. That's too much.
You and I wouldn't be able to hide our faces.
No.
Like our look on our face.
No, I'd probably start gobbling like a turkey and then get thrown out. Imagine having to be in the presence of Paul Ryan, and he's our contemporary, once. I'm not a violent person, but I would not be able to at least tongue lashing. I don't know.
Yeah,
you know?
Would, in college, now, again, he's our contemporary. So
you know who he was in college.
He's talking about getting rid of Medicare and Medicaid and bragging about how he wants to get rid of it.
Yeah, he's the guy who's talking about all the cheerleaders he's fucked. Meanwhile, when he gets drunk, he's sucking D behind Amoco. You know what I mean? Like, it's like that guy. I can't, that's, so I think that it's one of these things where, this brings me to Shirley.
Oh, yes, and the girls that he fucked are actually girls that punched him in the face
to get away from him. He counts that as a screw.
Yeah.
So it's like, who wants to deal with these people, right? I think it's the same reason why a lot of people that we know don't particularly want to work in like corporate finance or in some industries, because you have to deal with sociopaths.
Right.
That's where they are. So speaking of a person who put all this to the side and blazed a trail, Shirley Chisholm,
Yes.
Who I love. There's actually a post office in downtown Brooklyn named after her. She was born 1924, passed away in 2005. She was the first African-American congresswoman. This is in 1968. There still aren't that many.
Yeah.
And then 4 years later, she became the first major party black candidate to make a bid for the presidency. She was born in Brooklyn, New York, in 1924. She represented New York State in the House of Representatives for 7 terms, which is pretty cool. And then in 1972, she ran for the presidency and the Democratic nomination. And then somehow, instead of letting her be the leader, right?
Yeah.
They put South Dakota Senator George McGovern got the nomination. You see how that works out? If you're going to lose anyway, at least go down with a good candidate that you can support. So like I said, she was born in Brooklyn. She spent part of her childhood in Barbados with her grandmother, so at least one of her parents was an immigrant. She went to Brooklyn College in 1946. She was a teacher, an elementary school teacher, and then she went back to school and got a master's in elementary education from Columbia. She was also the director of the Hamilton Medicine Child Care Center and an educational consultant for the New York City Bureau of Child Welfare. She wrote 2 books. She was a co-founder of one of the early members of the National Organization for Women. Of course, she was a member of the NAACP, and she founded the Unity Democratic Club. She lived to be 80 years old. And just a piece of trivia, while she was running for trying to get the Democratic nomination, there were 3 assassination attempts on her life. 3. They were so terrified that this black woman might get the nomination.
Wow.
That did not stop her, though. She continued to campaign. And that's Shirley Chisholm. Pretty cool.
Wow.
I don't know how in the 60s that she had to go in and deal with those people every day. Dealing with Albany. Dealing with Washington. Can you imagine?
Oh my God.
You know? Can you imagine? So.
Yeah, really. Thinking about the way people are today.
Mm-hmm.
And how they work.
I commend, I know a lot of people got enthused by the last election to run for office, and I say go for it. Mm-hmm. I support them, but I personally could not go in there every day. I could not do it. I think I would be too psychologically drained, and I would be angry.
Yeah.
Restraining orders would probably be filed against me, because really, how can you deal with these people?
Yeah.
You know? How could you be in the presence of someone as evil as Mike Pence and not just want to take a shower constantly afterwards? These are bad people,
really,
right?
Bad people.
Yeah,
just bad.
If someone invited you to a party, and you walked in, and Trump and Paul Ryan and Mike Pence and Mitch McConnell and all these people were in the party, how long would you stay at that party?
Not long at all.
I would
turn around.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it said 4B. Wrong room. Whoops.
Oh, God. It does remind me of, like, going to parties in college where you're like, it's all the bad football players.
It's all the bad football players. They're all in one place together. Then here you are, like, dee, 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 dee.
And they're like, I'm going to get
you. It's a horror movie.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, I thought there were some other women here when I came in, but now it looks like it's just me.
Yeah. It's like, they're like, drink this. And you're like, no.
No, I don't want to.
You know, and then you'd go to the bathroom and they would have the curtain windows open, especially like on the first floor bathroom.
It's so they'd just run too outside. Small for you to get out.
No, it's too, they'd run outside and look at you while you were going to the bathroom.
Oh,
I know.
That's exactly how I view the U.S. government actually right now.
Yeah, I know. That's
like, it is. It's creepy. Yeah. And I wonder sometimes, because a lot of these guys are so old, what do they care anymore?
Yeah.
Like, why are you pissing in the pool when you're too old? Pretty soon you'll be even too old to get in it.
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, your grandkids have to get in the pool.
Yeah. And they're like, oh, God. They just are short-sighted.
Drink
enough
the
to
pee.
Be like, it's just me.
Yeah.
It's about me, and it's going to end with
you're in your 80s, me. And you're still trying to figure out how to be evil. Put it to rest. All right, what do you have?
I have Tales from the Campfire.
Ooh. So Tales from the Campfire is a segment that we do where we find tales on the internet of the paranormal, fake stories, folklore, ghost stories.
Scary stuff.
And we retell them here around the digital campfire. Yeah. So gather around.
Gather around, listeners. This one is called The Thing, and it's the mysterious ghost that haunted Taft's White House.
Okay.
It starts off. My dear Clara, Major Archie Butt wrote.
Excuse me?
Yeah.
All right, so Archie Butt wrote? Yeah.
This guy's name is Archie Butt.
Oh,
and he's a major.
I thought he was Buttrote. I like that. Major Buttrote.
His butt wrote a story. a letter to Clara, his wife.
Okay. Major Buttrode.
In the summer of 1911, wrote to his wife Clara, and seems the White
Clara
House.
Clara Buttrode.
Clara Butt. Dear Clara Butt, my wife. It seems the White House.
He said that?
No, I'm trying to clarify.
Oh, I'm sorry. Because would you like to get a letter that's like, Dear Katie Casimir, comma. What, you know, yeah. Whatever your relationship is.
I do. I call my mom all the time. Not all the time, but when I do call her, uh-huh. I start leaving a message. She doesn't pick up. And I'm like, hello, mom. It's your daughter, Katie Casimir.
I do the same thing, but I'm an only child. I used to do it with my mom, like, yeah, I know it's you. No one else is calling me mom. I don't have any other kids that I know of.
I do it all the time. She's like, why do you do that all the time?
Is Katie
time.
Casimir your daughter?
All the time.
From New Jersey.
Okay. So the White House is haunted, he wrote to his wife.
That's
her name
it?
Is Clara Butt. All right. Okay, so what had happened? In July, word of an apparition appearing to servants.
Sorry, what if she got a letter that was like, don't look behind you? You know what I mean? Like, just something that makes no sense. Girl, run.
Oh, God. I'm going to start doing that. So she just, people signed.
Yes. You just get a letter like, run, huh?
So that July, word of an apparition appearing to servants in the William Howard Taft's White House reached Archie Butt.
Okay.
He was a military aide to the president who served as a kind of personal secretary and attaché.
Major Butt. You know they were laughing at it back then.
Yeah.
You know. Still America.
So reported encounters with a ghost had been scaring domestic staffers for months.
Mm, that and the beatings.
So he would write these in letters to...
To Clara.
To Clara. What is he saying here? It now says that Clara is his sister-in-law.
Hey.
All right. So everyone, like, sorry for this error in relationships.
So who is it? It's his daughter.
Maybe it's his cousin.
Okay.
All right. This, I guess my dear Clara threw me off. I thought you talked to your wife that way, not to your sister-in-law.
Back then, though, everyone said that. You know.
The spooky tale he told her remains an enduring question mark for White House scholars ever since.
Mm-hmm.
So they called it the Thing. This was an entity that was felt more often than seen. Taft's housekeeper said a spooky... The Thing appeared as a slight pressure on the shoulder, as if a curious kid were leaning over to see what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
I guess when you were seated, right? Or this was a big-ass kid.
I would imagine.
Okay.
Archie Butt scolded the housekeeper, telling her, ghosts have not the sense of touch, or at least those self-respecting ghosts of which I have heard.
So what, he's putting down the ghost already?
Yeah, putting down the ghost and her experience, of course.
Did you take your ashy ghost and your fake experience?
He's mansplaining ghost.
Here's how it goes.
It goes with a ghost, right?
Yeah.
There's been a long tradition of ghosts in the White House. Lincoln is a very popular one, apparently. He shows up pretty often.
On the reg.
And then Andrew Jackson.
They're not showing up anymore. They're setting this one out.
Yeah, they're like, this is this is too much of a horror show.
We're in purgatory. We're going to stay in there.
Yeah, you don't need any ghosts running around here.
The ghost of democracy.
Okay, so Andrew Jackson, there was a British soldier at the time of the war in 1812. He would show up. But the Thing is one of the more unusual White House spirits because no one knows who he was.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the president or first lady. It's an unknown boy about 14 or 15 years old.
Hmm.
Right. And so then one of the other White House staffers said she actually saw the ghost. It was First Lady Helen Taft's personal maid.
Okay.
Who saw the ghost. She saw this figure she described as a young boy with light, unkempt hair and sad blue eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, who on earth could it be? I cannot imagine.
Yeah.
She said.
Somebody's illegitimate kid.
Taft responded to news of the spooky rumor with towering rage. He was very upset.
I killed that boy. He never made it to 14.
The president worried the story would get out and the press would have a field day with the news.
Mm-hmm.
But his aides...
Of course they would have a field day. That's what the press do.
Yeah. But his aides seemed to have a sense of humor of the whole situation. I remember him I reminded him that the help was in such a state of mind that it was positively believed that the upper floor of the White House was haunted. And the servants could not go up there because they were so scared.
And the White House? Keep in mind, mm-hmm. those of you who haven't seen the White House, it's very small.
Yeah, yeah.
Certainly many of our celebrities have larger houses.
Yeah.
Right? Right. Many, many of them.
Yeah.
Most rappers probably have a larger second house than the White House.
Right. So the story did get out. But, you know, the Taft scoffed at the story, but Butt was more intrigued. Major Archie Butt.
Okay.
And he wanted to delve into the history of the White House and see if any boy matching the thing's description had lived or died there.
Butt investigates. Yes. Okay.
Butt.
I mean, it's just terrible.
Butt gets down to business.
Yeah.
So the historians were just as perplexed as he was.
Mm-hmm.
And the only known youngster to haunt the White House was Willie Lincoln, who died during his father's second year in office.
Yeah.
But he was only 11, so okay. much younger. Like, yeah. So nobody knows.
Not him. No 14-year-old boy has never been here. This isn't Congress. Like no 14-year-olds disappeared.
So Archie Butt was looking into it, researching it, trying to figure it out, keeping mm-hmm. the story under wraps.
Keeping it small.
Though he himself was not long for the world. In April 1912, returning from Europe to the U.S., after a six-week leave of absence from the White House, he died in the sinking of the Titanic.
Wow!
As for the thing, well, if Archie Butt ever did get to the bottom of this mystery, he took the story to his watery grave.
Wow. So he was one of the people who was like, I'm going to get on this boat. It'll never sink.
Right.
This is going to be great.
Yeah.
So we never find out who's the 14-year-old boy.
No. The thing.
I feel like right now the Trump is probably thinking that Obama's haunting the White House, although he's yeah. still alive.
Yeah.
Right?
Probably.
Probably. He's blaming it on him. It's Obama. Yeah. Who left this door open? Obama.
Obama did it.
Yeah, it's a draft in here, Obama. Again.
And he tweets, Obama made it cold in here.
Yes.
Again.
Again.
And everyone's like, ew.
Hey, you know it is a free podcast, free of charge, FOC.
Free as a bird, free falling even. Well, it's free for listeners.
We put a lot of hard work into this.
Editing and online hosting is frankly thirsty work. It gets pretty dry in this studio. And you know we love a tasteful white wine. If you like our style, consider buying a gal a drink. We've added a PayPal donation button to heyyouknowit.com so you can show us some love with a one-time or recurring donation to cover a little something from the vine.
For $5, you'll be hooking us up with a happy hour glass of tasteful white wine, a 4-ounce pour. For a 10 spot, we can split a bottle of wine from the bodega across the street. For $15, we can kick it with a jug, because who are we kidding? For $25, you'll be making our dreams come true with a box of tasteful white wine concealed with a Mylar skin. Mmm, box of wine.
So I'm in honor of the president, I found here a list of some of the world's worst leaders ever, and I'll just give you a couple of my high points. Going back to the Roman times, worst Roman emperor ever. Certainly Nero is up there.
Okay.
Commodus is up there. But the winner is Gaius Caligula.
Oh, Caligula.
Yes, yeah. AD 12 to AD 41. He's a mad reign. It set high standards after a promising start. So he came in on a wave of, like, you know, gallantry. Mm-hmm. People were excited. Yay, Caligula.
They all had Caligula buttons.
Yeah, they're like, give me a C, you know, whatever. So as soon as he got in office, he immediately tried to humiliate the Senate.
Well.
And the armed forces.
Oh.
The generals. Does that sound familiar? Immediately,
wow.
As soon as he gets in there. And then he also declared, he gave grave offense in Jerusalem by declaring himself a god. Usually you wait until the end, like, mm-hmm. you're dead, and then other people declare you a god. He was like, I don't have time for this.
I need to be a god
today.
Now.
What's the good of me being a god after I'm dead?
Yeah.
You know? He also instituted a reign of terror, arresting people for pretty much anything,
okay.
which wasn't so unusual. He also apparently took a liking to members of his family. and lived a life of sexual debauchery.
Yeah.
In addition, he's the guy who's known for making a horse a part of the Senate. They don't say he did it or he didn't do it, but he said it's not out of character.
Okay.
He could have done it.
It sounds
it's
so
something. It's so Caligula.
Yeah.
It's so Caligula to put a horse in the Senate. But his biggest mistake was, and I found this was, I thought this was just rumor, but apparently there's some historical, like, foundations for this. He told the Roman military to engage upon an assault on Neptune, god of the sea.
Oh.
Ordered the soldiers to wade in and slash at the waves with their sword and collect chests full of seashells as the spoils of the victory.
What? Yes. Are you kidding?
Yes.
And they all had to go down to the seashore
so,
and do this.
So at this point, you know, they're like, what are we going to do? And then they summarily assassinated him.
Yeah.
In AD 41. So bizarre.
Yeah.
He must have just been like, whatever. Tell him to go fight the water. Mm-hmm. And they're like, okay, we'll be right back. We'll be right back. We'll do that.
Okay.
So other worst leaders, we got Pope John the VII.
Mm-hmm.
He was elected at the age of 18 as Pope.
Oh.
But apparently he didn't take it seriously at all. It was a part of a political deal with Roman nobility. And the Italians, everyone's trying to get a hold of the papacy, so they installed this 18-year-old. But apparently, he was too busy with drunken orgies to be the Pope.
Okay. But the Pope is infallible.
He was hungover all the time. Sometimes too hungover to officiate, to take an oath. Can you imagine he's just throwing up?
Yes, I can. Yes. I can imagine somebody in power being like that. Yeah.
And then because of that, his enemies were like, okay, we got to get rid of this guy, apparently. At one point, a war broke out between him and a guy named Otto, right? And then they replaced him with Leo the Eighth. All right. Apparently, though, he made a comeback at some point and had someone's cardinal's hand cut off and had a bishop whipped. Apparently, a full-scale war broke out upon this, and then John died, quote-unquote, unexpectedly in bed with another man's wife. This was the Pope.
Well, yeah.
This was the Pope.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about.
Your spiritual leader of an entire religion.
Yeah. Other people, King John, who I always thought was a great ruler, apparently he...
Not so much.
He tried to seize power when his brother Richard was out of town. And then at one point when he got into power, he had his own nephew murdered because he thought he was going to take over. And then he got into a war with King Philippe Auguste of France, and he lost all of Normandy. Making him one of the worst leaders ever. And then the singular act of incompetence was compounded by the fact that he was asking everybody for money and trying to fuck everybody's wife.
That sounds great.
So
sounds like a...
Yeah. Then they do King Richard II, which people know about. Also, Ivan the Terrible, Mary Queen of Scots, Emperor Rudolph, the Queen of Madagascar. And then the worst was King Leopold of Belgium. So if you do not know your Belgian history, one of the worst actors ever, he basically took over what was known as Congo and tried to tell people that it was just a colony, but actually he was using it as personal fiefdom. He was amputating everybody just at will. It was a slave state. He stole the copper, the ivory, the rubber. The Congolese were forced to work, and if they didn't work, he mutilated their wives and children, chopping off hands and feet. If you just didn't make your quota, he'd chop off your hands or feet. Like, he was insane. At a certain point, the British started to investigate him, and they found that what was going on was so atrocious. So atrocious that even the British were upset, because they had their own colonial shit going on. Then he tried to sue to stop the information from getting out about what he was actually doing.
Wow.
He fought a high-profile legal battle to stop people from finding out what was going on in the Congo. And eventually, an international campaign, so I guess this is Europe, decided that he had to hand over the Congo to the Belgian government. So this guy was not even running it to the Belgian government. He was just doing it on his own.
His facade of the...
And I'd heard about this before. So when he started the Congo Free State, as he called it, he said, this is going to be a place that's slavery free. But it was the opposite.
It was chock full of slavery.
It was only slavery. And then people found out and they were like, this is horrible. When he does it, it's horrible. Because he's doing it wrong.
Mm-hmm. We do it with a little more elan and finesse.
We do it like, you know, it's a little bit better. So this is 1865 to 1909.
Well, the Tarzan remake, the one with Skarsgård as Tarzan. Is that good? Well, him in a loincloth running around is great.
Okay. But is the movie good? Is Sam Jackson in this movie?
I feel like
he should be.
He should be, but there is... I think they kind of tamed Tarzan too much. He was a little bit too...
But it's the stories of colonialism, so let's just play it straight.
But he went in to stop Leopold and the forces. So they had to call in Tarzan to stop what they were doing
so
in Congo.
So it takes place in Congo.
Yeah.
Oh, I hadn't realized that. Yeah.
So he was... Tarzan was in England.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then all this was going on, so they're like...
Greystoke.
We got to
shut this down.
Yeah, and we got to get Tarzan involved.
Did someone put up a signal?
Pretty much. It was like, almost like a... that's a little bit of a stretch, but yeah, it's kind of the thing. Like, the only person who can stop this, what's going on in Congo...
Is a Skarsgård.
Is it?
And a loincloth.
That's right.
Because he knows the jungle.
Yeah.
That's bizarre.
And he knows the people, knows the animals, and he's going to rally everybody up and get...
This is one of those things that, as an African-American, I've just never really been able to enjoy Tarzan. I was like, word. He's the king of the jungle?
Yeah, right.
Really?
Yeah.
Some, cast-off aristocratic boob who's probably inbred three ways until Sunday, but he's the king of the jungle.
He's the king of the jungle now.
Yes. Not the lions.
Yeah.
Not the gorillas.
Yeah, not the wolves. Not everybody.
Not anybody else. Not a panther. But this dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
King of the jungle. Yeah, I could never get into those. I was just like, you guys are tripping.
I like.
Why not be the king of, like, I don't know, England, where you belong. I don't
know. The early movies, the ones in black and white, where there's, oh my god,
the natives.
I can't get over Tarzan's house. First of all, it's like the weirdest looking makeshift hut up in the trees.
And he's been there a long time. You think he could shore it up with something?
Oh, and it was terrible. So he drags Jane up there, and she's thrilled because she gets the sex of her life.
To pay him back, where she fixed the place up?
Well, then in the next movie, they have this like totally tricked out treehouse with pulleys and levers and ladders, and it's all decorated with flowers and fruits of the jungle.
I find that fascinating, because you remember this show, The Swiss Family Robinson?
Yeah.
So they moved to a beautiful tropical island where ostensibly you could probably run around naked and not build anything. Mm-hmm. But they start building condos, like, immediately. Yeah. What is wrong with them? Same thing with Tarzan. You don't need a house in the jungle.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have everything you could ever want there. You don't have to farm.
Yep.
You know, everything's available for your fish are there. The food is there. Why are you building a condo? Now you got to take care of it.
Because then the viewer wants to be comfortable, too. Like, we're in a house. They must be in a house.
Oh, yeah, I guess so. Yeah. Well... And in any case, good luck, people.
Good luck.
We'll have, presidents every 4 years.
Yeah, we will.
We will.
Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise. And let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at heyyouknowit.com. Thanks.
I didn't watch the State of the Union. I couldn't watch it because her, her kids were like, "Oh, we want to see what's going on." So she said, at a certain point, she just got up and like, "I can't take it anymore," and she like threw something and left the room. She said her kids were like, "What's?"
Does she tell them as they go that this is all lies?
And they know that, but they still, they're children. Yeah. They're hearing about it. They want to watch it, and it's like you can't say to your kids, you can't watch the State of the Union address.
Yeah, yeah,
it is not an R-rated.
Right.
Or it shouldn't be. It's like you're trying to teach them about civics.
Yeah.
But she was getting so upset, everything that he said, that eventually she was just like, yeah!
Yeah.
And like ran out of the room and went and got wine. And they were like, what happened? What happened? Why is everyone so... Like, they don't understand. They know he's an asshole. They don't like him.
Okay, that's good.
They children don't like the president. They know. They can tell bad actors when they see them, right? But they still... They don't understand why we are so upset about it, because they don't see that he... For them, they don't have... He doesn't have control over their lives. Mm-hmm. Their parents do.
Yeah, right, right, right.
You know, their teachers do. Adults who they know do. He doesn't. He's just literally like... What is the guy, Mugatu or whatever,
it's like
in
so
Zoolander?
Yeah, so removed from what's going on in their
lives.
He's
in an evil lair, you know, in Washington demanding $1 million.
Yeah.
Like that kind of thing. He is not a real, you know, he's just a villain. The same way when we were growing up, that Reagan was just like an evil villain.
Mm-hmm. And it was just like, so what?
And yeah, and we're like, in a couple of, by the time I was thinking, when we had Reagan, we were like, well, when I'm an adult, that's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. He's going to be gone. He'll be dead.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We didn't know he was the Hydra. Okay. So what do you want to start with?